This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
I got a pretty good reason that a couple of teams you may not have thought of could win the Super Bowl. But one team that you've probably already thought of probably makes more sense than all the others. We'll get into that in just a moment here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. Thanks again to Derek Rackley for joining us a little bit ago. It brought up a question because we were talking about Derek's career in the chat. He played 116 games in the NFL and is a long snapper for much of it, right? What is the better, do we think, I guess, for long-term health, right? Long-term health. So Derek was a tight end. I thought he had some long snapping experience as well. But back to long snappers for just a second. If you were looking for, I guess, a sort of roster adjacent job in the NFL, like third string quarterback or long snapper, like, let's not forget, you're tucking your head down between your legs and firing a football back there, either, you know, 8 to 15 yards behind you while large humans fall on top of you. So it's not an easy job. And then if they don't throw you down on the ground or land on top of you, you've got to sprint down the other end of the field and try to tackle somebody. So probably slightly more dangerous than third string quarterback. But long snappers, third string quarterbacks, what's the better gig? Like, long snappers get the special team schedule, right? Special teamers, a dirty little secret, don't spend a lot of time in the building, okay? Kickers, punters, long snappers, get in, do the work, get out. Third string quarterbacks, you got to sit in meetings with the other quarterbacks. You got to be paying attention. You got to be honed in, watching lots of film. I think if I had to choose, I would choose the life of a long snapper. But life of a third string quarterback, especially if you're not like a young guy trying to prove himself in the league, you're a veteran third string quarterback, it's not bad either. I mean, the most intense things get is what? Running scout team snaps during the week, right? And then it's just ball cap and clipboard time on Sundays, unless all hell breaks loose. You're not going out there and people aren't falling on top of you while your head is between your legs trying to accurately fire a football 15 yards back there to a punter or a holder. I don't know. I think I'd go, I was leaning long snapper, but then I think I come back around to third string quarterback. Although, the potential for disaster if you're a third string quarterback and you didn't actually prepare during the week is high, right? Like, both quarterbacks go down and all of a sudden you get thrown into the mix. Woof, you're in trouble. So I think I'll go third string quarterback just because I don't have to fire a ball back between my legs accurately, by the way, and then sprint 40 yards downfield and try to tackle someone without getting ear-holed, blindside blocked by somebody on a punt block team. I really have come around to the idea, as we look at the 14 teams in the NFL playoff field, and again, Derek, when he mentioned this, it flipped a light switch in my head. We try to discount turnovers somehow when we talk about defenses during the regular season in the NFL. We go, oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, they've won some games and they've looked pretty good, but, I mean, it's all because of the turnovers, right? I mean, not for the turnover margin. I mean, what would they really be doing? And isn't that important? I mean, honestly, we discount the impact of turnovers for some reason. But look at the top five teams in turnover margin this year in the NFL. We're all in the playoffs. Bears, plus 22. Texans, 17. Jags, 13. Steelers, 12. Rams, 11. And when you just talk about takeaways, you get those same teams, Bears 33, Jags 31, Texans 29, Steelers 27, Rams 26, but you fold the Seahawks into the mix with 25. Skip over the Falcons and get to the Chargers with 23 takeaways. If you can turn the opposing offense over, if you can force the opposing offense into mistakes, you don't even have to do it at the rate of twice per game. You don't. Now, some of these teams were close. Jacksonville, 31 takeaways. Chicago, 33. But if you just get one key takeaway, I mean, let's rewind to the last game we saw Sunday night. Lamar Jackson gets a little slippery with the football, pops up in the air, bounces off a couple of guys, and bang, right into TJ Watt's hands for an interception. You look at a lot of games and look at how turnovers directly affected the outcome. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that because of turnovers, we're destined to have a Bears-Jaguars Super Bowl. No, but I think it's going to be really important. I also think there is the danger that when we talk about teams and defense wins championships, son, which someone's drunk uncle will say to somebody else this weekend during a game, undoubtedly, and they may end up being proven right, that you can become susceptible in a game where you don't force any of those turnovers. I'll acknowledge that, right? Like, if the Texans don't get after Aaron Rodgers and force the Steelers into a mistake or two with the football on Monday night, it might be just enough for the Steelers to win a race to 20, which that game should be. When you're good at forcing turnovers, if you have a day where you don't force any, it can come back and bite you on the butt, no doubt. But it's why I look at this year in particular, and I say, okay, we don't have the same boatload of great quarterbacks involved in this year's playoff field that maybe we're accustomed to, right? No Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar, heck, not even a Jared Goff involved, okay? Now, that's not to say there aren't great quarterbacks involved. Josh Allen, Matt Stafford, there are even very good quarterbacks involved. Brock Purdy. But I think there is an opportunity this postseason for a defense to step up and force some of those second-tier quarterbacks into making the crucial mistakes that steal a game in the playoffs. I'm looking at you, Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. I think that's a distinct possibility. I'm looking at you, Jordan Love. Ye of three interceptions in your last playoff appearance. And if that's the case, if you can find a quarterback who is prone to those mistakes in crunch time, going up against a defense who likes to force those mistakes, then that's where the two come together and you start to get the perfect prescription for, in some cases, an upset, in some cases, a mild surprise, or maybe it's the favorite that ends up winning anyway, but they do so not necessarily because of their quarterback. They do it because their defense tortured the opposing quarterback. That's the one thing I would advise, and I'm just a dude with a microphone in front of his face right now, so no one's going to take, no one in any position of power in the NFL is going to take what I'm saying right now and go, oh, I heard that guy on Westwood One Sports earlier today, and he said this thing that made a ton of sense. No, they're not listening to me. But that's what I would advise to people trying to game plan this weekend Don't ask, unless your quarterback is Josh Allen or Matt Stafford, don't ask your quarterback to do too much this weekend. Don't. It's okay to manage a game. Shh, I'm not going to use the term game manager, but it's okay to manage a game. Liam Cohen, Trevor Lawrence. He ain't got to steal the game for you, Liam. Just ask your defense to force a couple of turnovers, and maybe you upset the Bills. Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, Aaron Rodgers. You ain't got to ask Aaron to throw it 37, 43 times again. All you got to do is rely on your defense and your run game and spot up your receiver for a couple of well-thrown balls down the field. You could say this to most of the teams alive in the playoff field. Even Mike Vrabel, you don't need to ask Drake May to go out and win the game for you, Mike. Let your defense hold serve, lean on the run game, and make sure you don't put Drake May in a position where he's got to throw balls that might get turned over or make terrible decisions. And so, while I do keep an eye on, say, a Jacksonville team, that if Josh Allen turns the ball over a couple of times, could have a path towards upsetting the Bills at home this weekend. While I do have an eye on the Texans because of their pass rush, especially against an elder Rodgers and then whoever they may face after that, while I do have an eye on the Bears, who I think could torture Jordan Love into some mistakes this weekend. And then who knows who they face after that? Maybe Jalen Hurts, right? And show up in an NFC championship game. I think there's one team, and those would be the long shots. I mentioned the Bears a week ago when I filled in for Nick on New Year's Eve. I mentioned the Bears that were 9-1 at that point for NFC champions. And so I would keep an eye on the Bears. I would keep an eye on the Jags and the Texans because of their defense's ability to create chaos for the opposing quarterback. But there is one team out of the 14 remaining who admittedly hasn't looked super down the stretch, other than week 18 when they looked really good against a much inferior opponent, who can force turnovers, can get after the quarterback on defense, has an experienced Super Bowl winning quarterback, and can run the football as well. I hate to be chalky, but the Rams. The Rams got a little bit of everything, don't they? A defense that can harass your quarterback into making mistakes, which I'm sure they'll do against Bryce Young this weekend. Or maybe against Jalen Hurts the week after that, or Sam Darnold, depending on how the bracket falls. They can force the opposing quarterback into making dumb mistakes. And as long as that quarterback doesn't all of a sudden do a 180 like Darnold did in the fourth quarter a few weeks ago, then they should be able to win the game because Stafford's going to be able to do enough. Nacua, the run game. So the Rams still have to be, if you're taking a step back and looking at it logically, and we talked earlier about sort of emotionally what tugs at your heartstrings if you don't have a rooting interest in these playoffs, if your team's already out of it, if you're more worried about head coaching or quarterback roles, and we'll get to those in a couple minutes because it may not be a pretty offseason for those. Who do you root for? And Buffalo feels like the overwhelming America's darling emotional favorite, get them the Super Bowl win that they haven't had in years. Ever. And then, you know, there's your Houstons and your Jacksonvilles and your Carolinas, all the teams that haven't done it before. But Buffalo is the darling, right? We talked about the emotional tug on who you may want to root for. Logically, remove the heart and just rely on the head. It's the Rams. Even after falling to the five seed, it's the Rams. an experienced quarterback, an experienced head coach, a defense that can torture the opposing offense into making mistakes. It's the Rams. Fill in the blank right there on the bottom of the screen. Why the Rams should win the Super Bowl? Best all-around team left of the 14. Their quarterback can win a game. Their defense can win a game. Their run game can win a game. Their head coach can win a game. You add all that up, and that's what you get. I know it's not the long shot you were looking for, but I threw out the Jags and the Texans for you, maybe even the Bears. Coming up, the 2026 NFL offseason game of musical chairs has already started. And some of these chairs ain't got legs. Some of these quarterbacks may not have legs either, or arms for that matter. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about next. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.